do it now. Say it now.
You're listening to the radio home of the Penguins, radio.dominican.edu. It's gonna take some time
to realize. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Freshman 15. I'm your host, DJ Red, and I'm very happy you chose to tune in today. Apologies for all those that tried to tune in last week. We were having some technical difficulties here at the station. But if you are interested in listening to my first recorded podcast, you can do so on our website, radio.dominican.edu/students-shows. Since this will be the first time many of you are able to hear what my show is all about, I'll give you another brief intro to start us off today. Freshman 15 is a personalized college advice broadcast where I share some tips and tricks I have learned while in college, hopefully intertwined with some good stories and fun alternative information on whatever topic I see fitting to cover within the hour. For all you 90s kids, this show is a lot like Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, except way cooler. And it is in radio form. Sorry, still trying to get everything all set up here in the studio. Last week, we talked about the Great Wall of China. I brought in Justin Bieber, and we discussed how money may, in fact, bring you mo problems. And then I spent the rest of my on-air time just teaching listeners how to speak in whale, very similar to how Dory does in Finding Nemo. If you believed a single thing I just said, you should really try and not be so gullible. But seriously, I have no intention of telling you guys what I actually talked about last week, because if you are interested, I'm going to encourage you to go online and check it out yourself. When this hour's done, go ahead, hop back on Penguin Radio, the homepage that I just told you about, and listen to my first show, Freshman 15 with DJ Red. It's not like you have any more important things going on while you procrastinate at your work desk. That's right, Aunt Chrissy, I caught you red-handed. So, the first segment I would like to jump in today for our college advice for the day is about personal branding and digital reputation. I talked about this very briefly in my last show and how this is important when you come to college, so I thought this would be a good segment to start with today. Want to start with some questions. So what does it take to get your name out beyond your school's walls, to establish yourself as an expert in an area of interest, and get the job or internship you may want? And the answer to that is personal branding. You aren't going to do it just by getting a degree. Just doing an internship and participating in clubs isn't going to do it either. These days, you need to learn how to build a personal brand. We're going to talk about what that means. And it's all about social media, which I know most of you millennials, and I'm even sure some adults are using it. I know my parents both have Facebooks and things. So talking about personal branding is really important for across the board, and people really need to start understanding how important this is. And it's a very effective way to start promoting yourself. The first resource I want to talk about today is one that I was given because I am a member of the Penguin Student Athletes Advisory Committee here on campus. And we had a workshop where NCAA officials came in and talked to us about personal branding and digital reputation as student athletes here on campus. It was a great opportunity for me to hear some personal stories of past mistakes and past accomplishments. But in general, the best resource I got out of it was this book that I want to talk about. It is called What Happens on Campus Stays on YouTube, The New Rules for Your Reputation on Campus, Online, and Beyond. It's written by author Eric Qualman, and he is the best-selling author of Socialnomics. If you've heard of that book or heard of him before, he writes this book as well. I've spent a couple of time, like a couple times I've gone through and just skimmed through the pages thus far, but in general, I really like this book and I love the resources that he has to offer. He gives out 36 different tips that he believes you should follow. You could read the whole thing in a day, honestly, but for me, I think this is a great reference that you could use for a lifetime. I want to continually go back to this book, look up what he's talking about, maybe something he said. There's also personal stories from other college students like myself that I've really enjoyed learning that I'm trying to implement here on campus now. In general, I just think it's a great resource, and I highly encourage all of you, if you're into reading books, to pick up this book. Again, it's called What Happens on Campus Stays on YouTube. Go ahead, check that out. Maybe you aren't, or actually, no, I'll dive into it a little bit more. Chapter 2 is called, each chapter is broken up based on his rules. So rule number 2, chapter 2, is live as though your family is watching. And I think this is a really important thing to do when you're on your social media accounts. You don't want to be posting things that you wouldn't want your grandma to see. I think that's a really important rule to keep. And there was a really awesome quote in here, so I'm going to give it to you guys. 51% of employers in the United States report that they have rejected candidates because of information posted on social media. That information should scare you, but it should also show you how important it is to keep your digital reputation appropriate. And you should really be aware of the things that you're saying. And I think a lot of times college students don't think that it's as important as it is. But if 51% of employers are making that a decision for your whether or not you're going to work for their company, that's a big deal. There was another quote in there that I wanted to share with you guys. Warren Buffett is quoted in the book saying, "It takes 20 years to build a digital reputation and only 5 minutes to ruin it." If you think about that, you'll do things very differently, I assure you. And I know in the past we've had issues with student athletes here. I know this isn't just for student athletes. I think this is for anyone. You can get in trouble by what you post, but I know student athletes in particular have an issue because they have their games that are on the line, whether or not they can play. I know different football players have been, not at our school specifically, but football players get in trouble because of things they might be posting, whether it's hate words or things like that, racist comments, but it could even be something as simple as just talking poorly about your athletic administration, or maybe for some reason you're frustrated one day and you want to bad talk one of your professors. Those things will get out and they will hurt you later on in life. Maybe it's at job and you decide to talk poorly about your boss. Those things will come back and haunt you. In case you're just tuning in here, this is my show, Freshman 15, here at radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Red, and for most of you, this is probably your first time listening to me live. Just talking about digital branding and kind of how to represent yourself on social media. In reference back to my book, I was just talking about What Happens on Campus Stays on YouTube. There are two awesome student projects. The first I'd like to highlight that I loved reading about was at Western Illinois University, students started a hashtag unselfie campaign to share acts of kindness and capture stories of social good that was going on in their campus. I think with all the hatred that and negative stuff that's going around nowadays, it's better to share positive vibes on social media. So I really like that story, and that's something I would love to start here at Dominican. Another girl at Michigan State who's was a big blogger. Maybe some of you out there are into blogging online. It's just as important to make sure that that's edited. Yes, it is your personal opinion, but I think what she did was great. She started a blog called 52 Cups, and it documented a year filled with 52 different meetings she had over a cup of coffee with thoughtful leaders, authors, and university presidents. Last week, we spoke about networking and the importance of that in your future job or just life in general. And I think for her, this assignment, or not assignment, it was a personal thing she went out and did. It was a great opportunity for her to start getting connected, and one meeting led to another meeting. She was getting more and more names of people that were important to talk to. And I was really impressed with what she had to say in her blogs and just listening about her personal project, why she decided to do it. Those are the simple things you can go out and do. And it's a great way to promote yourself through social media. You don't just have to use it as a way to catch up on the latest gossip or things like that. Those are great, I guess. I like using it as a tool for checking in on sports teams, checking what's going in at my university, using it as a way to stay involved positively versus is using it as a way to stay involved negatively. It's really not that important, and I know I use it way more often than I should, but if you're going to use it, why not use it positively? Moving on, I want to give my own personal tips that I've kind of come up with either after reading this book or just from stuff I've noticed from other people that I follow or maybe my personal mistakes. So I'm going to give you some of those tips right now. The first tip I have for you guys is complaining is a huge digital pain. There's no need for it in your life. You never like being around those people that just complain all the time. So why do you want to see it on your social media? Don't be that person. As I've mentioned before, post positive, post it forward. Just really try and keep it to yourself. That kind of goes into the next one. Tip number two is praise publicly, but criticize privately. I'm in no way telling you that you need to have a positive attitude all the time. There's certain things that are going to frustrate you in life, and it's just more important to keep those things to yourself. Talk about it one-on-one with someone you trust immensely in a private setting. There's no reason for you to bash people or to bash an organization online where everybody can see it. Once it's out there, you really can't get that information back, guys. So I really encourage you to praise publicly, but criticize privately. My third tip would be don't enable cyberbullying. That is a huge problem still, and social media makes it easy because a lot of times it may be anonymous or you will say things to someone that you wouldn't say to their face. So I think that's a big thing. Just don't enable it. Don't retweet someone that's talking bad about somebody else. Just like it all kind of goes together. But in general, don't enable cyberbullying that's going on. Too many issues are going on, whether it's suicide rates and things like that. We just need to nip it in the bud right now and move forward from that aspect of social media. My fourth tip is remember you do have a freedom of choice and a freedom of what you say, but you do not have a freedom of the consequences, and eventually it's going to come back and haunt you guys. I've mentioned this before, and I have stories here of people in the past. They post something and maybe they're not even the ones who posted it. They're in the background of somebody's Snapchat story doing something they're not supposed to. And you're not free from those consequences. There's rules and guidelines of what you are supposed to do and what you're not. And I don't want anyone to be negatively associated with problems that are going, maybe it's on college campus, you're at a party that you're not supposed to be at, whatever it may be. I don't think you should be involved with those kind of things. So just remember, there are consequences for your actions. And my fifth tip that I have for you guys is always remember that face-to-face can't be replaced. I like the little rhyme that I got going on there. But in general, this is actually one that I have to remind myself of constantly. It's always great to check in on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. And I even talked about last week how I love updating my Facebook page so my family can stay involved with my life. But you're never going to beat that face-to-face contact that you're going to be getting with people. It's a great way for you to just... It's a better way for you to stay connected with your friends. If you want to call them up, that's even better than seeing what they're doing via social media. A lot of times what's interpreted from online posts can be misinterpreted. That's what I was trying to say. And you can't hear the inflection of people's voice or the connotation or the context of which they're talking about things. So that's kind of where a lot of people, they will see a tweet, for example, which is on Twitter, and they will assume maybe it's about them because a couple hours ago you had a conflict with someone, and because you don't know the context of that or who this statement's even about, you assume it's about you, more problems start, blah blah blah. So if you have an issue, hash it out face to face. If you want to talk to your friends, talk to them face to face. I don't think anything's going to beat that. Social media is great, but it can't fix everything for us. So that's pretty much all I have in regards to my tips. There's definitely a lot more that I could cover at this point in time, but I think that those five are really solid to remember. And again, if you're interested in that book, I'll give you the title and the author one more time. It's called What Happens on Campus Stays on YouTube, and it is written by author Eric Qualman. So if you're interested, go ahead, pick that up. Maybe you'll see if there's a ebook about it. At this point in time, we're going to take a little media timeout, folks. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this first segment of mine here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Red, and we will be back shortly.
Yoga, Zumba, weight training classes, and more. At Dominican University of California, the Conlon Center offers a wide range of amenities to benefit your everyday health and wellness.
Do you want that freshman 15? I don't think so.
So come on down to the Conlon Center, and while you're there, don't miss a second of the Penguin basketball games and volleyball matches that are held in the gymnasium.
And the Penguins win 78-76. The unthinkable has happened at the Conlon Center.
Not on a sports team, but want to play? No problem.
All DU students are encouraged to participate in rec sports. After a practice or a game, you can cool off by jumping into the pool. It's all at the Conlon Center.
Only at Dominican University of California.
Welcome back to Penguin Radio here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Red, and I'm currently doing my show, Freshman 15, where we discuss all those fun tips and tricks you wish people told you about while you were in college. In case you're just tuning in, we just talked about personal branding and preserving your digital reputation online. Moving forward in our broadcast, I would like to talk about healthy eating habits, what it's like to eat on campus, and all that fun stuff. After all, my show is called Freshman 15, so I figured this was a good topic to discuss. For close friends and family tuning in, I probably have piqued your interest with this topic. to enlighten all of my other listeners out there, I like to think of my eating habits being almost parallel to Buddy from the Christmas movie Elf. So my main food groups include candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup. Okay, maybe not that bad, but it's pretty close, and I'm not exaggerating. I have soda with almost every meal. No, it's not healthy, and I can say that I'm working on it, but in reality, I'm probably not. Just because I don't practice good eating habits, though, it doesn't mean I don't know some of them, and I personally have tackled eating while in college, and some of those things I want to improve upon in the coming years, so this segment's not only good for you listeners, but it's good for me to talk about it. I had to research some things about it that I'd love to share with you today, so that's what we're going to be doing here. To start with, I wanted to give you all a little history lesson. So I was reading online at the New York Times, and I came across this article about freshman 15 and what it means. So some of the stuff from there, one of the earliest references to the affliction freshman 15 appeared in the College Tribune in 1985, and it has since become a standard part of the college lore, especially for young women. But the freshman 15 may turn out to be a Loch Ness Monster type thing on campuses, maybe it's real, maybe it's not, a much reported phenomenon that has very little documentation, so I'd like to talk about that with you guys, because a lot of times people are worried about this excess weight, and should they really be? According to Daniel J. Hoffman, an assistant professor of nutritional sciences at Rutgers University in New Jersey, college weight fluctuation is a relatively new field of study. So there's not that much information on it. And because most of the published research on the topic involves only small groups of students on individual campuses, researchers don't know what percentage of the college population actually is experiencing this weight change, or even when such changes are temporary or lead to long-term health consequences. So the best way to put that in English is it's all individualized. Maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. And maybe it has to do with your eating habits. Maybe it's because once you came to college, you decided Netflix was the best thing ever, and you've just been binge watching every single day and stopped exercising like you did in high school, where you were mandated to go to PE once a day for an hour or so, you know? Those things all start playing into effect once you come into college. The article continued on saying, same quote by Daniel Hoffman, in a study of weight and body fat changes among 67 Rutgers freshmen published last month, this was back a couple months ago, in the Journal of American College Health, Dr. Hoffman found that 18 students lost weight while only 49 students gained an average of 7 pounds. Again, that's not 15. Nobody was gaining 15 pounds, and maybe that is something that happens to you, but it's not an average. This isn't something that happens to everybody. In no way, like, while Dr. Hoffman is one man, I can attest to the fact that weight fluctuation is a thing, especially as you reach your 20s, but I will continue to support the typical college lifestyle that provides for unlimited, all-you-can-eat buffet-style dining halls with prepaid meal cards, late-night partying or study fueled by high-fat snacks. I'm talking Cheez-Its and some gummy snacks. I know Scooby snacks are still a thing. My friends love those. Every time we go to Target, they pick them up. And even when you're sitting in your room just gossiping, like I said you shouldn't do before, you're with your roommates and why don't you just bust out the ice cream? Or you're sad because your boyfriend broke up with you. You're going to start snacking on all this bad food. And I think that's great. I think food is a great way to help alleviate stress sometimes. I just think proportions and quantities is what's really important, and incorporating the exercise factor into all of it is what's important. So maybe you've noticed that you're the kind of person who starts gaining a few extra pounds while you're in college, or you've noticed it thus far. So as I've originally intended, anyways, and while that's not normal, I think there's a way to proactively combat it, like I said. There's no negative weight gain, so I'm going to start giving some campus tips that I've learned while here at Dominican. The vending machines. That is a first huge no-no. I like to think of the vending machines as my campus's way of trying to pull more money out of me, so joke's on you, Dominican. I don't want to give you any more money. Although your Choco Tacos are really enticing, I'm not going to eat them because I don't want to give you any more money. And so for all you college students out there who are broke, don't buy into the late night snacks at the vending machines. I think that's a really good tip for staying away from unhealthy eating habits. Because I also know you don't have the money to then go to the store. And if you're a freshman at Dominican, you don't have a car to go and do it. So now you're just stuck eating all the food here at Calarega. My second tip for on-campus eating is, this is something I've kind of picked up this year, and it helps with sleeping patterns and everything else, but I recommend not eating after 9 p.m. There is some value if you're starving and maybe you didn't go to dinner, but that might be the only reason I would allow this at any point in time. I don't recommend skipping meals, actually, so don't skip dinner. But if for some reason you're crazy busy, you have a class, whatever it might be, try not to eat after 9 p.m. because what I found is the only time I'm eating after 9 is because I was bored. And that's something I picked up while in college, was this boredom snacking. It's a horrible habit to pick up on, and 9 times out of 10, your body is going to just be up later than you intended because it's digesting the food that's giving you more energy, keeping you awake. Or even if you try and lay down, your stomach's going to be going crazy, gurgling and all what have you. So try not to eat after 9 p.m. Make that a goal for the next week. I challenge you all to do that. Next thing. If you aren't eating after 9, breakfast is super, super important. I've heard this plenty of times, and I'm really, really trying to work on this. But it's the whole reason it's called breakfast is because you're breaking the fasting that you just did all night long, and your body needs energy to start the day and be off on a good foot. So eat something, and that can be anything. Honestly, a little muffin, cereal, a protein bar, whatever you come up with, try and get something in your body. Myself and your mother both beg you, please eat something for breakfast. Don't skip breakfast. This is a really, really important meal. It's something I'm working on, so I totally understand that it's difficult when you're tired, but try and get something in your body right when you wake up. Next thing, eating on campus is hard because you aren't preparing the meals. So the best way to do this is kind of map out what your scenario looks like. So I'll give you an example. Here at Dominican, we have different stations. I'll go with lunch. We normally have a sandwich station. We always have a salad bar, and we have the back hot food section. By hot food section, I'm talking one side is all pizza and burgers, and the other is some form of concoction they've come up with for the day. Our school is really great. We have a new catering company here called Epicurean. They always serve to vegetarian and vegan options. They're really conscientious about trying new things and actually promoting good positive eating here on campus. For me, I've always found that difficult because the stuff is kind of weird. I like the pizza and cereal section personally, but that doesn't make it okay. I think it's always good to balance out your meals. I know you all remember from when you were in elementary school, maybe that pyramid, trying to get your grains, your proteins, something green on your plate, fruits and vegetables if at all possible. And while I do not do this, I recommend always having maybe a Powerade, a water, or a glass of milk with every meal. Try and stay away from the soda. If you're like me, keep it down to one glass a day, but really try not to do that. That's something I will personally be working on this year and moving forward in my life so that I don't gain any extra weight once I stop college soccer next year. Anyways, I would like to move on because I know not everyone lives on campus when they're in college. So the next little segment I would like to throw at you is some awesome college cookbooks. I actually received them from a friend of mine, Gabriella. She gave, for my Christmas present this year, she gave me college cookbooks. One, because she knows I can't cook to save my life. So if I have any intention of moving off campus at some point in my life, I was probably going to need some help. So this was a great present. And the one book I'd like to talk about today is one that she gave me, the I Heart Trader Joe's College Cookbook. 150 Cheap and Easy Gourmet Recipes, written by Andrea Lynn. Now, for me, I really like this book being from a Dominican student because we have a Trader Joe's right across the street, and it's a great resource for some good alternative foods. And there is a lot of different chapters in here that you could go to. Of course, my first look was at the desserts section, but the one I would like to share with you today is actually from the chapter entitled Quick and Hearty Brain Food for Finals, because that seems pretty enticing, doesn't it? Because we got midterms going on, so why not share one of these recipes with you? It is called the Warmed Chicken Salad and Green Tea Meal. It comes with a little fun fact. It says that edamame is a powerful protein source to help you get through a mammoth week of work, and green tea is a rock star for your brain. So in case you didn't know that, I recommend you try those things in your everyday meal. Moving forward, it says that this serving size that we're about to make will serve 2 people. Bust out your pen and paper in case you haven't already, because this recipe is only coming at you once today. The prep time will be about 5 minutes, and your cooking time is about 5 minutes. So for a college student, this is like, what? That's perfect, because I'm already running late to class anyways. I'm going to cook myself up a nice chicken salad with some green tea in there. The ingredients that you're going to need for this are 1 marinated chicken breast glazed with a sweet and tangy Asian-style marinade, 1/2 cup of Trader Joe's shelled soybeans ready to eat, 1 tablespoon of mayonnaise, 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper, 1 scallion chopped, and 1 tea bag of Trader Joe's green tea. Again, all of these ingredients you can find at your local Trader Joe's. And it's a simple 3-step process, so here we go. First step, heat the chicken breast according to the package directions, then cut the chicken into bite-sized pieces. I guess that's very individualized on how big of bites you take while eating. The second step, in a medium bowl, place the soybeans, mayonnaise, salt, pepper, and scallion. Open your tea bag, measure 1 teaspoon of green tea leaves, and add it to that mixture. You can go ahead and discard the remainder of the tea bag. The third and final step is to stir the mayonnaise mixture together, then add the chicken chunks and stir to combine. That's what this book says. That's it. That's it for that one. So hopefully that recipe is something you guys can go out and try now. I think I'm going to try it someday when I have a kitchen. We have one here in Edge Hill Mansion. So I'm really excited to start diving into this book. Thank you, Gabriella, for getting me this among many others. There's a bunch of them online. Just check out Amazon. You guys will find some great college cookbooks for cheap, inexpensive, and good food for you to eat. So I highly recommend using those resources. The second resource that I have for you guys today is one that I got actually from taking a Life Skills 101 class here at Dominican. It was a 1-unit Saturday class, and I really enjoyed it. We talked about a plethora of things from relationships and budgeting, other stuff we're going to be talking about in my future podcasts. But the one I want to talk about today is about healthy eating, and she gave my teacher, Gail Harris, is awesome, and she gave us a list. We were discussing organics, and I know a lot of times when you hear that word, most people just think, oh, I don't want to be associated with that word. At least that's the connotations I have in regards to organic food. I don't know about you guys, but if I see the label organic, I automatically assume that I don't want to touch it. I don't know why. That's just kind of me. But I'm starting to learn that organic food is actually just all around better for you in regards to the pesticides and everything else. It's really important to switch to organic. And mainly it's in regards to your fruits. And the biggest problem college students have with buying organically is the pricing. So the list that we were given is called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. These lists are a couple of the fruits and or other vegetable things that come organically. And if you looking at the Dirty Dozen list, those are the ones you should purchase organically because they're going to come with more pesticides. It's going to be on the skin. It's going to go directly into your mouth. The Clean 15 is those options that while they have organic, you can always settle for something else so that you can keep your budget minimally down. So I would like to share that with you guys right now. The Dirty Dozen, so things you cannot substitute, please buy these organically, are apples, strawberries, grapes, celery, peaches, spinach, sweet bell peppers, nectarines, cucumbers, potatoes, cherry tomatoes, and hot peppers. So go ahead and buy those things organically, but then if you find out that your budget is running a little low that month, the Clean 15 list is as follows. Mushrooms, sweet potatoes, cantaloupe, grapefruit, kiwi, eggplant, asparagus, mangoes, papayas, sweet peas, frozen preferably, cabbage, avocados, pineapple, onions, and corn. That is a list that my teacher gave me, as I've just mentioned before, in my life skills class, and so I wanted to share that with you guys. I hope that you have enjoyed that. Before I tag out really quickly, I have a little public service announcement that I would like to share with you guys. I've mentioned it last week in my podcast, but it is, yeah, so I'm just going to go with it. Have you ever felt like the work you put into class deserves some more recognition than a silly little grade you might be getting. I know I have. Hours of research, preparation, and writing papers seems irrelevant for a single letter grade. Well, I'm here to tell you guys that now you can showcase all of that hard work you've put in while in college. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to talk to you today about the Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference here on campus, April 14th through the 15th. This is a two-day event in which undergrad and graduate students present their research and creative works through research papers, posters, artwork, dance, or musical performances. The conference is free. Did I mention free? And it's open to the public, so parents, grandparents, everyone is welcome to come and check out this conference. I don't know if you heard me before, but it's free, people, and it's a great way to build up your resume for free. I'm going to keep enunciating that because it's really important. Maybe you're just a freshman and you think this information is irrelevant to you. Well, think again. At some point, you're going to have to publish a research paper, either for your senior thesis, you're going to be working on your big history paper, you're going to take advanced writing and research, or maybe you're just doing it for personal pleasure. Either way, you name it, you're going to be writing research. Why not come out and see what other students are using as research topics and just come to support your classmates because they've worked so hard on all of this stuff. So I think it's a great way for the student community and general community to come together and support these students. If you're interested in applying, deadline is coming up super fast. It's actually the coming Monday, February 29th. For more information on how to apply, or if you missed some of the details I just gave, you can go online to scholar.dominican.edu/scw/. So that is the Dominican and Scholarly Works Conference. I really hope some of you take the time to go out and do it. I will not be presenting this year, but while I'm working on my senior thesis, I hope to be presenting next year. This is something we really want to inspire all students here at Dominican to do. If you're feeling hungry after the last segment of me talking about healthy things, because I'm pretty hungry, so I think we're going to go ahead and we're going to take another quick break here in the studio. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing some helpful study habits. So don't close that webpage. My show, Freshman 15, will be back in a quick second. The next thing I actually want to play here on the radio for you, I'm really excited, just going to throw this little quick tidbit at you. I turned 21 in April, and for the longest time, my dad's been talking to me about taking me to Vegas for my 21st birthday. Like, he's like, oh, this is going to be the coolest thing ever. You and I are going to party it up in Vegas. So me being me and just helping him out, I started looking up things that I could do with him in Vegas after I turned 21, and we actually just found Carlos Santana tickets. I don't know if any of you kids in college know who that is, but he's pretty much the greatest guitarist, in my opinion, of all time, primarily because I grew up listening to him. So this one's for you, Dad, and our awesome trip that we now have planned in May. I'm going to be playing some Carlos Santana for you guys. I hope you enjoy.
Rhythm on your about it.
Welcome back here in the studio. This is DJ Red, and you're listening to my show, Freshman 15. If you guys just listened to that stellar song I just had on by Carlos Santana, it's called Smooth, featuring Rob Thomas. You guys cannot question the fact that that dude is a legend on the guitar. I have so many great memories with my dad, honestly, listening to that song brings back awesome memories, either old soccer road trips taken and him and I singing that song in the car, or when I was super little, he would pick me up and use me as his guitar as he danced around the kitchen. I love listening to that guy, and I'm super excited about our trip here in May. In case you guys haven't been, or this is the first time you're tuning into my show, Freshman 15 is where I'm giving some college advice. And so far today, we've talked about your social media presence and how it's important to keep a good digital reputation. We then moved into a little bit about food choices while you're in college and how to handle good eating habits. And now I want to talk to you guys about study tactics and how I found really resourceful tools and stuff like that while in college. Most people, when you ask them how to describe me, they would probably say nerd, or that's what I would think they would say. I don't know. In general, I like to think of myself as a really educated person, and that is because school has always been something that is really, really important to me. I value my education and the opportunity I get to further my education. I know not everyone's given that chance, so I make the most out of every opportunity I'm given in regards to school. And I mentioned this in my first show, but a little bit about me. So far here at Dominican, I've been able to stay on Dean's List every semester. When I graduated from high school, I graduated as one of the valedictorians with a 4.3 GPA. Moving into college, I actually still hold a 3.96 GPA. So I do consider myself pretty good at this whole school thing. I really like telling people that because it's not something everyone gets to accomplish, and it's not the easiest thing to accomplish. So I wanted to share with you guys today some of the ways I've been able to tackle school, because it's not just because I have a photographic memory or I am bribing my teachers and things like that. I'm putting the time in, and I've learned some tips and tricks on how to make the most out of my class time. So the first little saying I want to share with you guys again, it's something my dad actually taught me as a kid, and I've applied it to my schoolwork, but in general, my overall life, whether it's soccer or a work environment, things like that. So this little saying that we've used in my house my entire life is called the 5 P's. It's prior, preparation, prevents poor performance. I have used this, like I've said, in every aspect of my life, because when you prepare something ahead of time, it's going to help prevent poor performance. Obviously, mistakes happen, things go wrong, but for the most part, if you prepare ahead of time, you're going to prevent that poor performance. And that can either be by how you're studying, your mentality and actions each day when you go to class, and how you approach going to school. Or maybe it's just time management and things like that. Whatever it is, in some form of preparation, you want to ensure your optimal performance. One of the biggest things that I tell college students to do, as mentioned before, I'm a student ambassador here on campus, so I love telling students about our TLC or our Tutor Learning Center, something like that. And I'm going to guarantee most students here at Dominican don't even know what that is. And it is a resource made for students like you in Bertrand Hall, and you are entitled as a student here at Dominican to get 1 hour of tutoring per class per week or something like that. But we have tutors that are set aside for you to help you, maybe because you're struggling in a couple of classes. So before it gets too bad, you're given these free tutoring services as a student here at Dominican. And I guarantee most other school college campuses are going to have that. They're going to have resources for you because no one wants students to fail out of college. Everybody has your best interest in mind. And I think sometimes students just think that teachers and professors, academic advisors, whoever it might be, is just out to get them. But in reality, you have to realize no one wants to see you fail. We're all here to work together. They want to see you walk across that stage, but they're not going to just hand it to you. They're going to give you the resources and try and help you along the way. Another great tool that teachers have, like I said, they're not going to just make things easy for you, but if you're struggling in a class, something I've utilized here as a student here at Dominican is professors' office hours. They set aside time, and you can find it inside of every syllabus for every class you've ever taken in college. Professors will set aside office hour time for you to go in and meet with them and talk about something you may be struggling with. So, for example, my freshman year, I had two pretty difficult English teachers. I think that they were great, and a lot of people struggled in their classes, but the reason that I got ahead and stayed on top of my game was because I would go in during office hours before a big essay. Probably the essay was due on Thursday. I made sure I was done with it on Tuesday so that I could go in during his or her office hours and show them the paper, and we would talk about the ways that I could improve it before I turned it in. Getting that peer review or that professor review beforehand is a great way to ensure that you're going to get the optimal performance from everything that you do. And maybe as a college student freshman, all of you guys, maybe you don't know what MLA or APA is. Well, go in, talk to your teachers. Maybe it's even making an appointment with the librarians here. They're great resources. And you can ask them, hey, how do I write my references in APA style? Or maybe you're doing an annotated bibliography. You just don't understand what that means. They're great resources for you to just step into office hours and talk to your professors about it. So I really, really encourage students to do those things. They're references and they are there for you guys, so use them. My second tip in regards to study tactics, I know that most students don't do this, but one of the things I like to do is sit closer to the front of the classroom. I'm not talking you have to be that little brown noser that sits right under the teacher's nose and you're like applauding every single thing they say, but it's just as important to be up close and engaged with the class, the material, and the teacher, because the teacher is going to see your face more often than not. You're nodding along, and even if you aren't as in tune as they think you are and you just give off that perception that you are, they're going to be more interested in helping you, or they give you the benefit of the doubt when you're really involved in your class. You're sitting up close, you're taking notes on whatever it might be. And I know how easy it is to zone out in college. Maybe you have an 8 a.m. math class. I had freshman year one of those, and you're tired and you don't want to talk about math at that early in the morning, so you just sit at the back of the class and you zone out. But I encourage all of you guys that that's not the way to go through life. You need to go into every class looking to get something out of it, and honestly, that will benefit you down the line. Even if it's just one little thing, make a goal in your head that you're going to leave with 5 notes that are going to help you later on when you're taking the test for that class. With that being said, everyone has off days where they just aren't feeling it, and school can be overwhelming. So one of the best advice that I have in regards to your study tips and tactics is being proactive and preparing ahead of time, so when you're on top of your school, you can afford to take those 1 or 2 days off per class, because in the syllabus, almost all teachers will say, hey, you can have one excused absence. Don't take that as an entire day so you're missing all 5 classes you have that day. Spread it out so it actually feels like you're getting mini breaks along the way. And it all kind of depends on your participation grade in that class, I guess, but I digress. Taking a personal day is super important, and in regards to your studying and preparing for school properly, you're not going to be able to just cram everything in. That's going to be way too much. One of the best things I have done for myself is if I've seen that I've been spending an hour or two straight of just studying or writing a paper, I give myself a break, I walk around the block, I call up a friend and talk about anything other than school, because you're giving yourself a mental break, or just go out and do something to get your mind off of school for a while. Because cramming in information isn't the best way to prepare, and that's what this whole segment is about, is the best preparation to ensure a lack of poor performance. So, I think the next big thing is that you need to care about your education and the knowledge that you're gaining from going to college. Again, it's not something that everyone is just given, and it's a huge opportunity to be here, guys. So it's not just about the degree. The whole cliche about it's not just it's about the journey, not the destination. I think that's actually really important when it comes to college, because it's a really good habit. Like, you're not just in this for a slip of paper to move on and move on. Like, maybe that's your intention, but I challenge you guys to change that frame of thinking, because it's just not beneficial for you. What are you going to do later down in life when you're in a job? Like, you're in that for the next couple of years. I hate to break it to you, if you don't know, retirement age is until like 65 or something like that. So you got a lot of work still ahead of you guys. It's not just these 4 years. And that's something I've always been conscientious about in regards to school. This is a great opportunity. Make the most of it, blah, blah, blah. So I challenge all of you to fine tune those good habits now, whether it's learning how to research and find information online, formatting questions that you can then ask other people for help. Learning the ability to ask clarifying questions and ask people for help when you need it is super important in the workforce, because you're not going to ever understand everything the first time through. And when you're in a work environment, it's a good habit to know and a good skill to possess, the ability to ask questions. And in group projects, everyone hates them, but by doing them now and making the most out of them now, you're going to be able to be a better employee down the line. They're all really great things, as I mentioned, for your future work environment. College ends, but life still goes on, and it's that little slip of paper won't have any of the answers that you're looking for along the way in college. So try and make it about the journey, not just that degree that you're going to be getting at the end of 4+ years, depending on how long it takes you to accomplish it. The last thing I want to touch on is the whole concept of C's get degrees. And I hear this saying all the time in regards to school and students, because they have heard this and it is completely true. Yeah, if you get C's in your classes, you will pass and you will get a degree, and that's all fine and dandy. But for me, I've always challenged myself to do the best that I can. I don't think that's a abstract concept in any way, but it's all about the effort that you put in. And if you are trying your absolute best, and I can attest to this for a lot of like my nursing student friends, they are trying as best as they can, and these anatomy and these med surg classes or whatever crazy stuff that they're doing the best they can. And when they get a C, I give them high fives, because I know how hard it is to bust their butt to get the grades that they do for the nursing program. And that can be across the board for whatever major you decide to take while in college. You're gonna come across really, really hard classes, and the best you can do might be a C, but it might be an A. And I challenge you to always, always do the best that you can. And it's never an excuse just to get by. Doing mediocre work isn't going to benefit you in any way, whether that's the future or now. I think it shows really poorly on your character. Like, professors understand when you're trying the best that you can. And it's really, I talked about it last week. We talked about networking and the importance of that. You're going to have professors and your academic advisors, and they're going to be resources for you later down the line for potential letters of recommendation. Maybe you were trying to go to grad school, or even job opportunities, internship opportunities. You need to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward in every class that you go to, because you never know when these people are going to need to be called upon for help later down the line. So I think it's really important that students don't just go with the concept of C's get degrees, because while they do, it's always about putting your best foot forward and doing the best you can. Office hours, resources such as tutoring, things like that. They're all really important, guys. And one question that I got, as a student ambassador, it's really weird. Students will be like, oh, what? How are you a good student? And I honestly have no idea how to answer that question, because that's such an individualized, like, person-to-person understanding of what you can do. Maybe someone has photographic memory, or I can attest it to the fact that I take meticulous notes, color-coordinated with sticky notes and whatever it may be. I organize my life, like, to a T. I make sure I have everything in order, but that doesn't make me a good student. I think what makes me a good student is the fact that it's my mindset about my education. And I think that's the biggest thing I want all of you to pull out of this segment here today, is this is something that's going to carry with you so much further in life than the ability to take notes or to have photographic memory or to be able to pass a test. If you can give yourself the best frame of mind going into every situation, you're going to be a lot more, you're going to benefit a lot more in the end, honestly. You have to look at school as a great opportunity, an opportunity to gain more knowledge about something you're hopefully passionate about. If you're in a major and it's not interesting to you, maybe it's not the major for you, because I absolutely love being a communications major. I don't care who's out there telling me, quote unquote, this is the easiest major to take. Maybe it's easy because I absolutely love what I'm doing, and not everyone can come out here on the radio and talk like I do or give presentations like I do, because for them that's not easy. And no, I don't have to take crazy tests or do clinical hours like OT and nursing majors. But I'm doing something that I'm passionate about, so it makes going to class every day exciting and fun, and I love what I can do. And I challenge everyone, when they're in college, to find majors like that, to go into every single class, no matter if it's a GE requirement or a communication or a requirement for your major. Just go into it with an open mind and a positive mindset that you need to make the most of it. And that's my whole spiel for how you should study better. Basically change your mindset. That's all I have in regards to that. Before I go here today, I actually have one last little announcement for you guys. I mentioned it last week as well, but I want to continue to tell you guys. Through our broadcast services here at Dominican University, we are offering our first B-roll contest. A B-roll contest here at Dominican is a filming opportunity that has the potential for winning some money. So we are, as a collective unit, trying to make a virtual campus tour video here at Dominican. And this whole contest is trying to gain little snippets of film that we can eventually use for this video we're creating. So two interns this semester with broadcast services, Kayla and Diane, are in charge of collecting potential, if you're interested, they're collecting names and stuff by February 29th. Again, that is the coming Monday. So email Kayla Carlson at students.dominican.edu if you're at all interested. The whole contest in general, this is what it is. Break it down for you. It's somewhere between 5 to 10 topics from this list. It can be athletics, faculty, on-campus activities, dorm life, generally students walking around campus. It could be a plethora of things. No matter what it is, they're just looking for students to send in little 1-minute clips of unedited stuff, and you have the potential to win anywhere from $50 to $15. So I encourage students, if you're interested, hit Kayla Carlson up at her email, kayla.carlson, that's Carlson with a K and two S's, at students.dominican.edu. Again, that deadline is February 29th. So, that, in case you have been lost in all the awesomeness that is my show, for the last hour I've been sharing some personal college advice. If you like what I had to say this week, I highly encourage you to tune in again next Friday, 11 a.m. for the Freshman 15 with me, DJ Red. Thank you guys so much for listening in on radio.dominican.edu. Penguin Radio is the official radio station of Dominican University of California, where fellow students like myself are given the opportunity to write, produce, and record our own personalized radio programs. We are sponsored by the Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences program and produced under the Communication and Media Studies Department, where our chair is Brad Van Alstine, our executive producer is Leona George Davidson, and our faculty advisor is Stuart Horn. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend. Thank you for tuning in this Friday. It's been a great hour. That's all I have for you guys. This is DJ Red, and I am signing out.